What do you think it means to be a person?
I don't know.
Me either. Really. Say scratch that again.
Scratch that a fan.
I'm Caitlin Metz, a non-binary illustrator and designer.
I'm Rebecca Tossig, a disabled storyteller and writer.
And this is Scratch That, Parenting and Reparenting Off Script.
A podcast for people trying to parent and person at the same time.
Head over to our Patreon, Scratch That Podcast, for show notes and a transcript of today's episode, and also to join the conversation.
Thank you for being here.
Hi, friend. Happy Monday.
Ooh, here we are. This episode was like one of the first that I put down on our brainstorm list of things that I would want to talk about with you. It is relentlessly one of the hardest things in parenting for me, is parenting in public. And that has been true since like the moment that Otto was outside of my body. And it is true today, now that he is 5 years and 1 month and some days old. I think one of the things that makes me feel vulnerable about recording this conversation is that these are some of my most disappointing parenting, like disappointed in myself, parenting moments. And like there are like memories that I have of things that I've said or choices that I've made when parenting in public that like will haunt me when I'm trying to fall asleep. Like, why did I do that? So with that in mind, maybe we tentatively hold hands and move forward into talking about what is it like to parent in public? Why do we do the things we do when we're parenting in public? What can we hold on to? Why do we lose? I don't want to make assumptions yet. Why do I lose myself so quickly and easily when people are watching my parenting? How is this for you?
This is one of the, I think about this so often, is also a thing that I like turn over and over in my mind while I'm trying to sleep. I mean, there are other, it's not that I don't have shitty parenting moments when I'm alone at home, but it feels distinctly different. And I feel like I need to like pull that apart too, like why those two things are different. But
can I start with this example and see if you have any similars?
Yes, please.
Okay. One of the saddest memories that I have of myself as a parent is, my God, how many times can I talk about school pickup? Like, why is this such a, it's like 10 minutes of the day. And it's just like the most fraught time for me. So I like pick up Otto from school and he has this, I think I've even talked about this specific thing before. There's like a garden between the door and the car and he always likes to like hop into the garden and he like disappears for a while. And I'm sort of often found waiting by the car for him and parents like see me just waiting for my kid. Or I'm like with him sometimes, it just depends. But this day, okay, so this, there is this dad and this angelic, sweet little adult in a child's body child that he has. And every single day they walk in and out of school together, just like a postcard, just like, oh, look at the sweet, sweet, sweetness of this pair. She's always like walking right beside him and gets right in her car seat and yay, yay, yay. And so I think just to write, like, we celebrate you. And I think just the mere comparison of the two of us is part of it, right? Like, we do not look like that. And why is that so hard for me that we just obviously there's different ways to do this and we look different. So they're coming out. We're doing this whole thing again. They're like, ha, 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 walking to the car, so sweet. And Otto is like running around in the garden. And the dad says like something like another day of Otto's adventures or something like that. And I said, oh, I'm so disappointed in myself. I can't even hardly say it out loud. I said, rolling my eyes, like I'm so annoyed with my kid. I say, when does it ever stop? Or something like that. I was just like, like it never stops or something like super annoyed. And as soon as I said it, out loud. I even almost saw the dad's, like a flash across the dad's face of like, oh, sorry, what? Like he'd stepped on something. And I'm assuming Otto heard it, at least in the back of his mind. And then the dad went off to his car and I was forever like, why? I love my son's adventures. I feel very great about us moving the way that we do pick up. Obviously, I've reflected on it way more than any human should reflect on any one single action. And it's good. And yet I'm like performing my annoyance with my kid. I don't understand that kind of behavior. Is like self-deprecating? Is it like the impulse to be self-deprecating and then I'm extending that onto my child?
There have been moments like that. I feel like there's this like rote, this like performance of exchanges that parents have with each other where it's like kind of like eye rolls about kids or like just kind of like here we are, the grown-ups over here and the kids are over there and we have some kind of like camaraderie by commiserating
mm-hmm.
over them or something.
Yes.
I know that feeling. For me, it's like this incessant discomfort and like hyper awareness that I'm being perceived while parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so, in some spaces, it's easy and fine. And in other spaces, it is so hard for me to hold on to the values and like ways that I definitely want to engage with Charlie when I'm in this like public space. And I think that it is rooted back in this idea that if your kid is like perfectly behaved,
mm-hmm.
that is like indicative of your parenting, and this belief that like children are supposed to like obey immediately and like fall in line, which I do not believe. But in some spaces, I've like, because I've chosen to parent him in different ways, in ways that I think are like better, and I think the way that I'm doing things is right, which is why I'm doing them. But they're so counter to the ways that other people parent or the way that I've seen parenting happen that in public, I feel like this sense of control over his behavior because I need him to perform in a way that validates the way that I raise him.
Yeah. Yes.
That like gentle parenting or like I've been accused by like people that I care about a lot of like being permissive or there's been like some distinct moments of like judgment and disdain for the way that I interact with Charlie, specifically around like control or like immediate obedience or just him like performing childhood in a way that's palatable to people. And I'm just so aware of it. And so when we go out, I'm like, just do the thing.
Yes, we need to show them.
We need to show them that we're doing it right and that me being kind and gentle and us having conversations is great.
No, I think that what you've named is actually like a huge part of this. Like, I think you've really gotten to the bone of it. And I think that that relationship between my child's behavior and a reflection on me as a parent is probably something that I don't know if it gets even worse with time. Like you think about like people whose kids are like going to college or like what college did your kid get into or not. I don't think that that's our circle, but you know, like these markers of like how successful is your kid doing and is your kid thriving and are they, you know, like, are they living their best lives? And like thinking about the ways that tether, I don't think that that necessarily goes away just when our kids are like out of the tantrum stage.
So, okay, the first thing is like judgment. I feel like, well, they're both about judgment because I'm just always thinking about what other people think of me. But the first one is like, I need us to like look great in public so that people know that this like alternate way I've chosen is like working and good. I need to be validated in that. The other thing is when I bring Charlie, this is one where I have more specific examples where I feel really guilty about it. When I bring Charlie into spaces that I have inhabited pre-parenthood, and then I'm like there as like multiple identities, and I feel like almost this like cartoon character who's like shape shifting between each one. And I don't know where I am or how to hold both at the same time. I think that is something that I just still, even like 4.5 years in, is really hard for me to do. So much of my life is still really compartmentalized. And so I took Charlie to a garage sale a couple weeks ago that one of my friends had. And it's a group of friends that I don't often like hang out with Charlie. Like no one in this group has kids. It's like all of my like queer small business owning people. And I just felt so fucking awkward the whole time. And I don't really think I did anything like super shitty there, but I just was hyper aware of how awkward it felt. And I felt like I didn't know who to be or who I was in that space. I recently took him, I had a meeting with a client who's also a good friend of mine, who's also a parent. And we parent in really similar ways. I really admire her parenting. But we were having a work meeting. And so I felt very conscious of the fact that I had brought my kid with me. And he was being a kid. He wasn't even doing anything crazy. He was just like needing stuff as children do, but I kept having to be interrupted. And I was getting so short and frustrated with him and kind of like doing the eye roll thing at this person who was like, if she was going to judge me for anything, it would have been for eye rolling. But I was just so hyper. I was like, this is so unprofessional. Like my kid doesn't know how to be like silent in moments. Like he should know that like this is an important thing and he just needs to be silent and wait, which is not actually how I want us to move through the world.
Yeah. Like the toggling of different roles and like, how do you be a professional and a mom simultaneously? How do you be like your single or your childless self friend with your child there? It makes me think about how disruptive kids are. And I use that word like totally neutral. Like disruptive can be wonderful. Disruptive can be really painful, but like disruptive to adult social norms and like the ways that we as adults have like accumulated all of these like unspoken little rules and norms that we are in this like little bubble together and we're all like performing these little things that don't even necessarily always make sense. We're just like really comfortable in that space, and how disruptive it is to have a kid who doesn't abide by those rules and how activating that can be for the, I think I'm especially thinking of, for me, maybe even more than rules, it's like tools that I've developed to be likable and pleasant and not disruptive and like accommodating, and how uncomfortable it is to have a kid with me who does not have those tools for good or bad. You know, like, I don't know that all of the tools that I implement are really great for me or the other person. They're just like ways that I learn to cope. So I guess, I mean, I think this isn't very illuminating, but what is standing out to me is just the ways that is very much about us, like something being activated in us, or we're getting our little bubble is being like forced open.
Yeah, so much of this does not feel like it's about Charlie at all. Yeah, every piece of this, all of the instances that I like think about, like that I'm thinking about as we talk about what it is to parent in public, like none of them, when I go back, I'm like, oh, I really need to like, there's a skill he needs or something to be in public. That's not really what it's about. It's because when I identify those, then we work on them. And that doesn't feel so tricky, but it's like this internal deep angst and discomfort. And the amount of times that I am like not, that I just respond in ways that I would not respond if we were at home or if we were alone. Another thing, another piece of this that I've noticed is when Charlie and I are traveling solo and we're going someplace, we're like airport, big nature hike, I don't know, we're somewhere outside of our normal context and there's no one around us that knows us. So I'm not able to just like, based on what I know of someone, decide how they might possibly be judging me and then respond based on that perception that I've projected onto them. I'm so much better of a parent. I'm like present. I'm focused on him. It's like him and me against the world. I love just like going on adventures with him. The amount of times I've, and not really in the last like year or so, but in Charlie's like early years, like we would just jump on planes and like just go places solo together. And I loved it. And I felt really steady in the ways that I was responding to him, the ways that we moved through the world together. Because it just removed, it's like almost harder the more I know the people that I'm hanging out with.
Yeah.
The harder it is, because someone will make like the tiniest comment about a kid and I'll hold that in my brain for fucking ever. And then I will like project what I think they're thinking about me onto them and then act in response to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's revealing though, because I think that I'm different from you in that, in a way that I think is just like helpful information, because I think I have two distinct things that I'm holding on when I move through the world in public with Otto or parent in public. And one bubble is what you've named, is like, you know, knowing what people like parenting things that people beliefs they have about children or whatever. And then the other layer, which I think is equally at play just in different ways in different places, is my belief, which I think is both supported by evidence and not always supported by evidence, that people don't trust me to be a parent because of my disability, because of my wheelchair, and having to prove. So you talked about like proving that your parenting style. And I know that every single time anyone is looking at us, there's a part of me that is trying to prove that I'm capable of taking care of him and that he's safe with me and that I'm a legitimate parent. And I feel that with everyone, maybe besides Micah, I feel that with every single person, besides like a maybe like a few tiny few people. And I think I feel it especially with strangers. And proving something, having to prove something with your kid, I think will almost always lead to what would it be? Like not good. that is not a good guide. That's not a good guide. And I can think back over so many experiences with Otto in public where, because I was trying to prove something, I made choices that made everything so much worse. I've had a lot of anxiety about him walking close to me when we're in public, and like, you know, parking lots are like a huge space of anxiety, because the fear that people have with parents who use wheelchairs is like, well, you're not going to be able to physically keep them safe from danger. Or like the needing to prove that I could physically move him somewhere if I needed to, when I didn't actually have to do that thing. Like it would have been better just to like wait and collaborate, and I didn't have to prove anything to anyone, would have been better. But like kind of trying to force that to prove a point just escalated everything. So I think I have both of those things, and they feel like distinct, kind of like separate drives with the similar like heightened or like anxious. If like my eyes are like blinking wildly and my hands are and like my hands are like spazzing, like looking around, I'm looking around like who's watching us and what are you thinking, and I'm scanning the room and I'm paying attention to how much you're looking at us and what I can read and interpret from your face. So I think both of those fears of judgment, both like parenting style, interpersonal, and strangers' judgment of my capabilities, are like always like red alert flags on both my shoulders.
Yeah. And that feels, I mean, the disability part feels distinctly different from the things that I'm experiencing, because I've had tiny snippets of where I feel like maybe it's a similar fear with like in some spaces being visibly queer, but mostly, yeah, it feels very different.
It's different.
It's super different. Yeah, because that's like a real founded, Like, that's not a joke. That's not you needing to go to therapy and do some internal work, but not projecting your childhood trauma onto your kid, you know? Like, that's actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Real in like a super scary way.
Yeah, it is. And it's an example of, like the really sharp fangs and real consequences of ableism. It's really harmful. And just how powerful the fear of it, even when it's not directly impacting you, being near it or knowing that it's possible or that it happens to other people is just like really potent. So yeah, I think, I guess that I'm like recognizing that this is like several layers deep, because I think honestly, now that I think back on that first example with the dad and like Otto on another adventure, I think that part of that like deep seated feeling or what my body was probably experiencing in that moment is like fear that you are going to see me as a parent who can't physically grab her child out of the little garden.
Yeah.
And even as I say that out loud, I feel the need to say on the recording that if there was an emergency, I would have been able to do that. Like, you know, like I need everyone to know that he's safe with me, and how deeply that is driving, I think, a lot of those moments for me, even in ways that maybe don't make a ton of sense or aren't as obvious.
It feels different than what I'm talking about in a really big way. Like the thing that I feel about parenting in public is it's so internal. It's so about me. It's so wrapped up in like, yeah, just so many things that like don't really include Charlie and are like mostly not really relevant or important to other people. Like, it's important because I want to be aware of these things and shift them so that I can be present and parent Charlie consistently in the way I want to, wherever I am. But that's so different than having like this real palpable fear of being witnessed in public with your kid.
I think that the thing that is shared though, or the thing that ties those together, is the fact that neither of those guides, in the vast majority of cases, that doesn't lead to better parenting. You know, like, I don't want to say always. I think I'm thinking of parents. There are so many people who are in different situations than Otto and I are in. And I think that there are parents who are having to pay attention to like threats and dangers for their kids. And that drives kind of how they parent, and they maybe can't be as gentle as they would want to because of that very real threat. And I think that can look like a lot of different things. So I don't want to say that like that always is the wrong choice, or you can't ever let fear be the thing, because some fears are obviously very, very pressing and real. But I think for us, in my own experience, that fear is not pressing and urgent. It's real in that it happens really, like parents with disabilities are often lose custody of their kids, or they are reported to Child Protective Services for reasons that are not legitimate. And that is real. I don't think that that is like urgent or pressing or as immediate for us as it feels sometimes. And I can let that become like, I think that I can let that take over and drive more than it should. Especially when the whole point with all of that is like me proving that I'm a capable parent, you know? And so like trusting that and practicing that and actually taking care of him in the way that I know is best should be what I'm prioritizing more than proving it and doing a less good job of it.
Interrupting this episode to say thank you to everyone supporting the podcast on Patreon.
We love seeing your comments come through. We love getting to know each of you better. Like, you being there really means the world to us.
If you want to support the project financially, you can become a paying patron for as low as $5 a month. That's less than a latte.
But there's lots of free ways to support the podcast too. Sharing episodes, giving us one of those very pretty 5-star reviews, all of that makes a huge difference too.
And you can also join Patreon without paying, so the show notes will always be there for you. Okay, back to the show. I think part of when I feel so awkward in public spaces with Charlie, where I am, where I've existed, inhabited those spaces pre-children, is that not everyone wants to equally involve a child into an adult space, or that kids are often. And so I will like apologize on his behalf or be like nervous for him because I'm like anticipating what someone else might be thinking or feeling about it. And then I end up like not treating Charlie the way I want to. And then often I find out that that person like had a totally different thought. And then they probably thought that I was like a shitty parent because I was, you know, like I'm just like my own worst enemy in these moments.
Okay. I think I told you about recently, Otto and I went over to my parents' house and he was playing with his cousins. And I think it had just been like a really big day for him in general. And maybe he didn't sleep great the night before, but he was just unusually, I don't know, is the word dysregulated. He was just like being a lot more like pretty aggressive with his cousins and getting a lot of fights and crying and yelling a lot. And his cousins who are raised in a really different way than Otto is, in a way that is just like makes sense for their unique family, but not for ours. And so they kept looking at me like, what are you going to do about this kid? Like, what are you going to, where's the punishment? And so I'm like feeling that and thinking like, oh man, am I not like, do I need, what am I supposed to be doing here? That's going to, what would their mom do? You know, like, and what are they expecting of me? I mean, I'm just like aware of that in the room. And then my mom, I like ended up like lifting Otto up and taking him into the kitchen and like getting him a snack and holding him and breathing with him for a while. And I use kind of a voice that is harsher than I normally use. That was like, if you keep hitting, we are leaving. Right. So I'm like being stern and it's so silly to think like, that any part of my brain is like, do the other kids think I've been stern enough? Like, what a silly thing. But I think that that is part of what my brain is doing is like, well, so I've been stern. And then I lift him up and I carry him in and we're like breathing and eating a snack. And then my mom comes in and my mom is like, she says something like, Otto, do you know I love you? Okay. And my brain is like, oh, my mom thinks I'm being too stern. My mom thinks I'm being too stern with him. And she's coming in to be the softness that I have not offered. Like this is, my brain is just like so keyed in to all these other people. And so one of the things that reminds me of what you said was just like this impulse to look at everyone around me and figure out what they think of this and what their assessment is. And then the second layer of that is like how that can be wrong. And we don't actually know what that assessment is. And the other thing I'm thinking about kind of goes back to something I was thinking about initially, which is just like how disruptive this can be. And I'm thinking about your friends that like don't want to have kids. And it's just making me think about the ways that being around children, and maybe particularly like dysregulated children or children that, or at the very least, we could say children who are not abiding by the adult rules of behavior in the room. I wonder how much of that is just confronting something in the child of each of us. Like there's something in reaching into like us as children in that moment that's maybe like, well, my mom would punish me for that, you know, or like I would be expecting someone to come in and get a spanking in that moment. Or, oh, why doesn't anyone understand that kid? Because like I wasn't understood as a kid or whatever the thing is. So all that to say later, I called my mom and I told her how much I had been like losing myself as a parent in that. And I was like, so it felt to me like you felt like I was being too harsh with Otto. Because you said these things and this is how I interpret it. And in her response, honestly, her response made me think she thought I had not been harsh enough. I was like opposite. I like totally got it wrong. But then she said something that was like, oh, I just whenever I see someone suffering or hurting, I just want them to feel loved, which is very much my mom. But I, when she said that, I was like, oh, okay. Yes. There, like, what is making sense to me is that when this child is in this moment of suffering of some kind, that I think that that is activating to most of us in some way. It's doing something. It's taking us somewhere. It's, and we don't often understand what it is or where or why. A lot of times it just comes out in like using a voice we don't normally use or whatever it is. But I don't know, maybe like part of the reframe for me is thinking about all of us as children in the room together or something, you know, like child me is here now with the child version of my mom and the child version of my sister. And I don't know, is it a little easier to have like compassion for all of us and curiosity about all of us in that room when it is actually bringing all of, I don't know, it's about us as individuals more than it is about anything happening for that kid and how impossible it is for us to actually know what the child version of my mom is really experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
Or what the child version of your friends who are like, I don't want to have kids and now I'm with this kid. And, you know, like, I don't know. Does that make any sense to you? Do you see anything like that?
I think the thing about this conversation is that zero amount of it has to do with my kid.
Yeah.
Because like if when there's like consistent behaviors that are like not good or we're struggling with, that's happening equally at home and in public. He has like good days and bad days at home and in public. He has meltdowns at home, meltdowns in public. He's like charming in both spaces, but there's something distinctly different about me and how my body's feeling and how I'm moving through it. And it's rooted in like these like shadow beliefs I have about myself as a parent, or like this fear that if someone sees me in this parenting role, that I suddenly become less cool as a friend or like less intellectually like competent or something.
Oh my gosh. The stories that we have in our head.
And I like, you know, we can laugh about them. We're like, this is so stupid. And also it is like deeply ingrained in my body.
Yes.
And like the fact that my kid is not scared of me, like in public when I like give a direction or something and he's like feeling ornery or we're just not perfectly in sync. And then I'm like, oh God, everyone thinks that I'm this like permissive, crazy parent who doesn't control their child. And then all these things from my childhood pop up where it's like, you have to break their spirit so that they like follow the rules. And if you have not like taught them complete obedience, then you're like bad and setting them up for failure. And they're just going to be like a raging psychopath killer. And I don't believe any of this stuff. Like, I'm like, no, 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 no. All this is wrong. And even when I see a kid complying like immediately in this like perfect way to their parents, I'm like, oh God, something is bad. Like something is not good happening behind the scenes. Like that is a red flag for me. And yet that feeling is still, it is in my body. And it comes out in these little sneaky ways in public spaces where I'm just like split. I'm like multiple people feeling really frantic and frenetic, trying to figure out what everyone around me thinks of me, wants from me, and then somehow trying to get my kid to do the thing that I am projecting on other people of what they possibly might want. I'm like, what the fuck? It's so exhausting. It's so much.
Yes. But you know what is making me think of? Okay. This is a thing I'm going to be thinking about after this, because what it is making me think is that you are having that response to like this social context, because that is a tool that you learned to survive when you were little. You were like, I will survive by making everyone around me comfortable and making myself acceptable to everyone in the room and figuring out what they need. I will look at their faces and figure out what they need, and then I will do that thing and then I will be safe. That is a tool that you've learned. And so what is the actual tool that we want to give our kids when they show up in those spaces? And I guess that is the reparenting piece of it, right? Because it's like,
yep.
What tool do I wish I had here? And how do I embody that, model that, and try to hand that off to my kid too? And so what would that be? It would be like a tolerance for a tolerance for disapproval. Would it be trusting your gut and intuition over the projected assumptions of what other people are thinking?
Belonging to yourself first. Because I think so much, you hit the nail on the head. Like, that is how I stayed safe as a child and like into my 20s, was just like carefully performing what everyone needed me to be so that I would be safe. And that is what has made it so tricky to be in spaces where there's multiple different people. And then I'm like, but which version of me am I supposed to be?
And they want different things.
And they want different things. And I mean, and in some instances, like, there were really specific, it was really specific. And it was like, it literally kept me safe and from harm.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
But that learned thing then, like, as I've grown, then I just become this like flailing little potato in a room with no sense of self. And I don't know who I am. And that's
I'm sorry I'm laughing. That's the best image.
That's what it is. But I think all of this, I feel like almost every fucking conversation we have comes back to what is being a parent activating in us, and how does that tie almost always to our childhood, and how do we comfort and tend to that part of ourselves so then we don't hand that same thing to our kid. Like, I do not want Charlie to learn to do this.
Yes. And I think one of the things that I learned, again, for good reasons, was that everyone needs to like me and everyone needs to think that I'm good and capable. And I need to, not only do I need to like be basically capable, but I need to be extraordinarily capable in order to make up for the baseline of assumption that you already have about me. And it has led me to be an adult who really struggles to hold on to myself as soon as anyone else is in the room. And I don't want that for him. And I do want to teach you to be kind and aware of other people's feelings and not hitting your cousins. And there's that whole other piece. So it's like trying to do multiple things at once.
Yeah, like teaching your kid to read the room and like that their actions impact the group, and being like kind and considerate without being like, you must modify yourself to like please everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Another like layer of my sadness about these like parenting in public things. Again, I feel so sad saying this, remembering this, but like, so I was like very anxious from that whole experience of Otto like having such a hard time in front of everyone, all these other kids that didn't seem to be having a hard time, and my kid was the one having a hard time. So like, we finally get in the car after all of that, and one of the first things I said, just not even thinking, just like first things I said, was I looked at him and I was like, why were you hitting people? Why would you do that? Why were you hitting people? Right? Like, he knows. Oh, let me tell you. And the thing is, I feel like I kind of do know, because I know my kid and I know he was really tired and we probably should have gone home like an hour before that we did. So by the end of it, I was thinking, okay, the thing I want him to know is that there will be times when he gets completely overwhelmed with his feelings. And he's hungry and he's cranky. And that makes sense because that happens to everyone, including his mom. And like, can I help you notice that so that you can like take care of yourself, go take a break? So the next time we hung out with those cousins, it was maybe a little bit like too intense, but I kept saying, if you need to take a break, you say, I need a break. You can even go find your aunt and your aunt will go take a break with you. And and just like repeating the script of, I need to take a break. And, you know, I don't know when or how or if that translates. But that's the thing. It's not like, why did you hit people and why would you do that? And your mom doesn't even understand. Versus, okay, you were hitting people. That's not okay. Also, everybody reaches the end of themselves when they're hungry and tired and the day has been too much. What can we do about that?
When you were talking about that, it made me think of the, like, taking a break and just like talking to him. Like, he's not going to be able to identify.
Mm-hmm. No.
If you don't like show him like, oh, I'm seeing that you can't control your body right now. I'm going to help move you because this is like not okay. And it seems like you're needing support. So that he can start identifying it.
Mm-hmm. And there is something like, I think, immediate relief when we are seen, as opposed to what I did, or just like, why would you? Like,
I mean, I do that all the, oh my God, I do that so often.
But it's the same voice. I mean, that's what's interesting to me about identifying like how kids are activating these little kids in us, because it is the same voice that I aim at myself.
Yeah.
Why can't you? Why do you? Why did you say, you know, like all of that?
I think that's what feels so bad, because as I'm like thinking about what we've talked about, I have this fear that people are going to think that I like parent really perfectly at home. And that's like not true.
Kaylin, you're scanning the audience for their judgment.
I know, their judgment. But like, I lose my shit at home all the time with him. But there's like, it's an emotional burst. It feels like so true to the moment. It's like honest about where I am. And then we can like immediately repair. The things that are happening in public feel like so incongruent.
Yeah.
With like how I want to be, and that I'm like reacting to something that's like outside of both of us. And it feels so gross. That feels more gross than me like getting to the end of myself and like raising my voice or being sharp or like kind of being an asshole when we're at home, where then I'm like, oh my God, okay, like let's pause, let's reset. I shouldn't have yelled. That was like really shitty. Here's why I did that, but that was like not okay. It feels really different than when I'm like this, like tight scanning everyone else. Like I'm just not there present with him or me at all in this public space. And that just feels like, that feels more scary to me than me like kind of like losing my cool at him over something. Cause that feels like there was a reason.
What it sounds like to me is like, obviously there are moments when we get angry or frustrated or we'd say things we don't want to say, but it's the difference between that being an outpour of like genuine like frustration or agitation for the moment you're in versus this tension with performance. Like when you leave your house and you're out in the world, you're operating, you're performing something, and that is not the parent that your kid is used to. And so you're like feeling that immediate tension and you're like, like that's the thing that is shaping the interaction more than like a genuine outburst of like,
Yeah. I don't want him to feel like I change for someone else and then he doesn't know like who's going to be there, or that he feels like lost, or like that we're not a team. Like I feel like when we're in public so often, it's like I'm trying to appease someone else and not just like be present with him.
That is an interesting piece too, because at home, our kids are used to having our full attention. We're kind of like at their disposal in a lot of ways. And there is something interesting when you're with your friends and you want to be able to be with your friends. And you also want to have your kids see you as a friend. Like that's another role that you occupy. And that, I don't know how much of that even, it always has to be about performance as much as it's like weird to toggle a role that your kids don't often see, or like as a professional, like in that meeting that you had. Like,
yeah, because I'm excited for him to see me in other roles. And we're actually really working on like pausing, listening, not interrupting, like taking turns, like understanding. Sometimes I'm like, I'm doing like, this is not Mama Charlie time. You're coming and you're going to do this specific thing that we've talked about. And I'm in a different role. I'm great with him seeing that. The part that I'm not cool with is for him to get the feeling that I'm like embarrassed or ashamed of him.
Yeah.
Because what's happening internally is that I'm like these people don't think that I am as real or cool or important or interesting or capable because I'm also a parent. And that's, it's, yeah, this feels really separate from teaching him how to come and be in adult spaces. Because while I'm like, children are full people and like should be allowed to be everywhere, also part of that is learning that in some spaces we act in certain ways. I do think that the thing is identifying what it is in ourselves and how does that need to be like tended to so we don't pass it on or project it.
And what is the replacement tool that we or skill that we would like to develop within ourselves and be able to pass on to them?
If anyone has any shiny answers, let us know.
Thanks. We'll talk more soon.
Bye. We love you.
Bye bye.
You tell me when we're done, okay?
Bye.
This podcast is edited and perfected by the most beautiful wizard and my favorite dude, Micah Jones.
For all the show notes and a transcript of today's episode, check out our Patreon, Scratch That Podcast. This is our hub. It's where you can join the conversation and be part of our community.
If today's episode resonated with you or made you think of someone, share it.
And if you want to support the pod and also make us glow inside, go give a 5-star review on Apple. That would be so lovely.
Thank you for being here, for listening, for being a part of this community.
We love you so much.